Me. And my Bible reading for this morning consists of just one single verse. It comes from the last chapter of Peter's first letter. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, as Linda knows, as late as Sunday evening, I was planning to talk today about something completely different. But I didn't sleep at all well that night. I was concerned, increasingly concerned, about our daughter Susanna and her husband Mark. Briefly, they are currently in Kenya, visiting several churches. They left us about 13 days ago now, and they are due back, God willing, next Monday. Over their first 5 days in Kenya, which got you to last Wednesday, we heard from them in the 5 days 4 times. But late last Wednesday, they were leaving Nairobi by night train to go to the coast, and we had heard nothing from them after that. We could only assume that Susanna and Mark were in an area where they were now unable to get in contact with us, which we discovered only yesterday afternoon was in fact the case. But lying awake in the early hours of Monday morning, I became more and more anxious about them. So I did what you would expect me to do. I talked to God about it more than once. And as I did, it was as if the Lord dropped into my mind my text this morning. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I remembered how much those very words meant to Linda and me many years ago, some 6 months before Susanna was born, but that's another and long story. This morning I want to underline just very simply 3 points from what Peter wrote. And first, it's that little word, all. Cast all your cares upon him. Peter's original readers had every cause for anxiety, because they were facing far more than their fair share of trials. In their present, many of them suffered persecution, and did so simply for being Christians. For the future, their prospects, and they knew it, were even worse. Indeed, within a few months of Peter writing, a violent storm broke. Because on the evening of the 19th of July, AD 64, a great fire destroyed many of the congested districts of Rome, which fire Nero, the then emperor, blamed on the early Christians. As one of the Roman historians of the time expressed it, and I quote, "Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class called Christians. Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Covered with the skins of beasts, they were torn by dogs and pugs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burned." But even as Peter wrote, he and his readers could already see the storm clouds gathering. Small wonder then that the apostle included and indeed emphasized that word all. Cast all your cares upon him. And second, I want you to note Peter's words, upon him. Cast all your cares upon him. Earlier in his letter, the apostle had referred to the well-known words of Isaiah 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Which passage continues, as Peter knew well, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And was he, the Lord Jesus, of whom the prophet Isaiah wrote, was he able to carry, to bear, the weight of all the iniquities, of all the sins, which God laid on him? Yes, indeed, most certainly he was. And his very resurrection, on which many of us focused this past Easter Sunday, his very resurrection is evidence enough. But now Peter insists that his persecuted and suffering readers themselves cast their cares where God once laid their sins, on him. Now I remember telling myself in the early hours of Monday morning that I should do just that, that I should place my anxieties where God once placed my iniquities, on him, the Lord Jesus, knowing that the one who at great cost bore all my iniquities can surely bear all my anxieties. And thirdly, I want us to notice the promise which God makes in that text. We can confidently cast all our cares upon him, the Lord Jesus, Peter says, for he cares for you. Literally, for it matters to him about you. What an amazing thought, that it matters to the risen, living Lord, to the one who upholds, controls the universe of 100 billion galaxies. It matters to him about me. In John chapter 10, Jesus spoke about the hireling, about the man who was paid to look after another's sheep. I am the good shepherd, he said. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but the hireling, who is not the shepherd, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. The hireling flees, Jesus added, because he is a hireling, and does not care for the sheep. It doesn't matter, Jesus was saying, using the same word as Peter does in my text, it doesn't matter to the hireling about the sheep. It matters to the hireling only about the hireling. But Peter assures us that the sheep most certainly do matter to the one that he had spoken of earlier as the shepherd. You were like sheep going astray, he had written, but have now returned to the shepherd of your soul. And if we have truly returned to that shepherd, to the good shepherd, who on that first Good Friday laid down his life for his sheep, then with confidence we can cast our every care where our every sin was laid. I'm going to read something to you I quoted here one Sunday evening, about 3 years ago. The extract comes from a small book written by Corrie ten Boom, who, as Peter's readers knew, a lot about suffering, having come through a German concentration camp, where her own sister Betsy died. I quote, "Many years ago, shortly after World War II had come to a close, I was invited to speak in a Japanese church in Tokyo. The nation was still reeling from the impact of the war. Two of their greatest cities had been destroyed by atomic bombs. If ever a people had reason to worry, it was the Japanese. Because of the language barrier, it seemed sensible for me to give them an object lesson. Do you know the feeling, I began, when your heart is like a suitcase with a heavy load? The sad-faced people in the little church all nodded. I picked up my suitcase and put it on the table. I told them how weary I was from tramping all over the world carrying that suitcase filled with heavy objects. My heart was like that until last week, I said, when I read a glorious verse in the Bible, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And I did that. I brought all my burdens to the Lord, all my cares, and I cast them upon him. I opened my suitcase on the table to demonstrate. "Lord," I continued, "here are my co-workers. They are so tired." I reached down, took two items out of the suitcase, laid them on the table. "Oh, and here is my trip, Lord, the one I have to make next week to the town where I don't know a single person. You know how worried I am about that. I cast this care on you too, Lord." I took a big package out of the suitcase, laid it on the table next to the two smaller packages. "Here are my friends at home, Lord. They wrote about a car accident." I took out one more object and placed it on the table. I took object after object out of the suitcase, mentioning each one as a particular burden or worry, and in the end, my suitcase was empty. I closed the empty suitcase and pretended to walk out of the room, swinging my light bag as though it were made of paper. The people immediately got my point. The light of understanding broke on their faces. After the meeting, I quickly threw all the items back into the suitcase and dashed off with my host to go to the home of the wonderful Japanese Christians who entertained me until it was time to fly on to Hong Kong. Many years passed, and then I found myself in Berlin at an international congress. After one of the morning seminars, a distinguished-looking Japanese evangelist approached me. "Corrie ten Boom," he said with a broad smile, "every time I hear your name, I think of your trouble suitcase." "Oh," I said, flattered, "I'm glad you remembered what I said that night." "It was not what you said that I remember," he smiled courteously. "It's what you did." "Oh, taking all those objects out of my suitcase," I said, "laying them on the table as an illustration of how to pray." "No. That is not what I remember most," he said. "What I remember most is that after you finished your talk, you took all the objects, put them all back in your suitcase, and walked out of the hall just as burdened as when you came in. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the Lord often has occasion to peer into Malcolm's trouble suitcase, and to ask, 'Malcolm, why do you insist on slipping your cares back into this suitcase almost as soon as you empty it?'" And in closing, I can't do any better than repeat what I said earlier. If we have truly returned to the Good Shepherd, who on that first Good Friday laid down his life for us, then with confidence we can cast our every care where our every sin was once laid, and we can leave our every care there. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Should we pray?